Thunder leading. Niang comes to get it left side. Gobert on the UCLA cut, wide open, big, powerful, frustrated slam dunk by Rudy. Wipes both hands. Rudy kind of says something to him. Inbound to the corner. Robbie for three. No good. Gets his own rebound. Drives into Gobert. Misses again. Gets it again. Ball fakes three times. Rudy waits for him to go up and spikes it. Rudy was like the playing cat and mouse, and he was not the cat. Kendrick Williams to the rim. Rudy is there. And the monster growls and blocks another shot. Driving to the basket. Roby. Here comes Gobert, and he got another bite out of another one. Rudy Gobert is now just toying with him. Six block shots. Niang, right side three. Good. Check it. Seven block shots for Rudy Gobert. Triple-double?
If they keep challenging him like
that. Got 8 points, 10 rebounds, and seven blocks.
Just a snippet of the beatdown last night as the Jazz rough up the Oklahoma City Thunder 106-96. Interesting game. Jazz got down early, then came back, and then, of course, had their patented third quarter where they outscored Oklahoma City 33-16. Oklahoma City in some garbage time down late trimmed it up a little bit, but a 10-point victory for the Jazz that, frankly, in that second half, I don't think was ever in doubt. Lou Dort ends up scoring 42 for Oklahoma City, but other than that, he was surrounded by a bunch of G League guys that for some reason felt like they wanted to try to drive on Rudy Gobert, which did not end well for any of them, as Rudy Gobert ended the night with seven block shots and as well as 14 rebounds and 13 points. So, yeah, it was one of those nights where the Jazz, when they finally woke up and said, we need to finish this thing, they did just that.
It was weird, though, watching Dort and the Oklahoma City Thunder jump out to a 17-point lead.
I know.
I'm thinking, whoa, how asleep are the Jazz? And then I started to worry about what you and I talked about, these guys having to push through a 2 or 3 point game through the final minute and having to exert themselves just before they get a couple days rest instead of cruising to a nice, comfortable victory, getting starters off the court with 6-7 minutes left in a game and starting to recover for a final 18-game stretch.
Yeah.
This game was important. The way it went was important to me. And it ended up going that way for the most part, being able to take Donovan Mitchell off the court and allowing the bench to finish as much as they could possibly finish. But it was almost like Oklahoma City didn't – these young guys didn't even scout Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden they're like, whoa, holy cow, this guy's really good at at defending the rim.
Hey, guys, did you see? He blocked my shot. Like, he's tall.
Let's see one guy going back to the bench and being like, hey, I don't know what you know about that guy, but he can defend the rim well, so I don't know if you want to maybe try the outside or I don't know. But just be careful.
Just be careful.
He defends the rim really well.
I don't know if you may not have heard of him, but I just went in there. He blocked my shot really good, so just be aware of that.
So there were a couple of observations from this. By the way, speaking of Rudy Gobert, did you see Rudy grab the hand of Bojan Bogdanović to pull him off the floor? And Bojan's face was like, Rudy, good grief, man. You're going to pull my arm out of socket.
Almost like he dislocated his wrist.
I just had this thing surgically repaired. And Rudy realized it too, because Rudy does everything aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, so he goes to help a buddy up. He's like, let's go. We're up. And he grabs Bojan. But Bojan, no better to extend the non-surgically repaired arm to Rudy. Like, the first thing I thought was, don't get mad at Rudy. That's your fault for extending a surgically repaired arm to a beast that is just amped up in a game.
Yeah.
He's not sitting there like, oh, that's Bojan. He's got a bad – he's thinking, I'm going to eat anybody that comes towards this room. Help my buddy up.
All of a sudden, you're like, what?
Oh, man. And I could tell Bojan was displeased.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. And look, you know, you're down on the ground, buddy comes up, you know, your initial thought is, you know, you have a dominant hand. You're like, all right, let's go. You're not thinking about that and not realizing that, yeah, he could rip your arm out of its socket and also crunch your every ligament in your hand.
cracked the bone.
This does have a little of a Hans Olsen feel to it.
Oh, it does not. A little bit.
A little bit.
When I get...
Like, everybody's been on the end of a emotional hug from you.
Yeah, I don't even like hugs anymore. I would just rather not be hugged.
Lloyd, I haven't hurt you in a long time.
It's because you're never in studio.
I haven't hurt you since the old 1280 days.
Oh, that's not true. Actually, I think I've got a picture actually in these studios of you manhandling me and Scotty outside the door just watching.
We don't need
just took a picture.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm not going to get in the middle of that.
Okay, but understand that all these moments, I feel like I'm helping you guys.
Yeah, same thing. With
you don't even want to see the picture with you and Ajay.
Who? Me?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bad angle. Scotty just took the picture on a bad angle.
It's funny how many pictures I have of you assaulting people.
No, come on. I don't. Would you stop pulling out your phone every time?
Let me assault people in peace.
I'm not assaulting people. I'm hugging people. Yes. I love people. But it may add a touch of overaggression.
How many times have you hugged somebody and you felt something give?
Probably 4 or 5. Told you I cracked a couple of my uncle's ribs. Yeah. Hurt my brother pretty bad. I've hugged people a few times that it's hurt them, but not intentionally. Never intention. Two times intentionally. Three times intentionally, but the other two times not intentional.
Yeah.
I was really pleased with Boyan though, and following up 33 points with 23 points. Really pleased to see that. I'm hoping, and not a lot of that done from the perimeter.
No.
He didn't take a lot of shots on the outside.
And we've seen him kind of evolve, and I don't know if that's because he doesn't trust his shot, but he's been taking it to the rim far more lately than what we've seen in the past.
I know that Matt Thomas is brand new, and I know that he hasn't had a ton of court time, but as we planned and figured, the bench was going to be on the court. So you're going to see Ersan Ilyasova, and you're going to see Matt Thomas a little bit last night. There were times with Matt Thomas, it's like, got a long way to come.
Well, I think Matt probably got Jordan Clarkson wasn't available last night. And he probably went over to Matt and says, look, let me tell you how things are going to go for you. You're filling in for me.
Let me tell you what you can do. That's a good point. He did look like he just came off the bench after taking advice from Jordan. Dribble around a lot. Like,
Quinn's over there. Jordan, don't you talk to him.
Hoist it from deep.
I let you get away with it. I'm not letting Matt Thomas get away with it.
Matt's over there search dribbling, stepping outside the perimeter, hoisting it up the top of the shot clock. It didn't look real good for Matt Thomas, but I want everybody to understand that's just an early look at Matt, and you got to give him time. I like his enthusiasm. When he gets the ball, he moves around. Ersan Ilyasova is the same kind of fit in that whole thing.
Took three three-point shot attempts, missed them all. Matt Thomas, 2 of 10 from the field, 1 of 8 from the three-point line. But that's what the Jazz do. That's their offense. They take threes. And so, if you bring somebody in there and they see what the offense is and what is expected of them, they're going to try to replicate that. They just probably don't have that same kind of ability.
Mm-hmm. I was really happy to see George Niang, especially in the first half of that game, knocking down some threes and hustling on defense. That
double-double, I think, was the first ever double-double for George.
I wouldn't know the time that he'd had a double-double, and I didn't realize he had a double. He had 10 rebounds?
Yeah, 13 and 10.
Good for him.
I thought I saw that floating around on Twitter last night.
Good for George. You were talking about, rooting for people, cheering for people.
Yep.
George is a guy I want everybody to cheer for.
100%.
Hope everybody knows how amazing that guy is.
But, again, this is a game that, what was the spread? Lloyd, 17.5. But the Jazz, they were missing some players in that game last night. And it got a little sketchy at first, but I don't think the Jazz were ever any concern that they were going to lose that game. Fire back in the second quarter and then blow things open in the third quarter and get the W. And it was just kind of a classic Jazz game that we've seen over the last stretch. May not come out of the gates on fire, but when they need to turn it on, they do. And when they need to pull away and get a W, they get it done. And This was a team that was pretty depleted. They've been pretty beat up. And now I got to imagine they're pretty fired up to enjoy 2 days off. And I think that you're probably going to see, especially today, I don't think any team activities whatsoever. It's like stay home, stay in bed, rest up, because you got 2 days of rest and then another back-to-back coming up later in the week.
At home?
I think it's
half and half.
I think it's half and half.
One at home, one on the road? I can't remember. I knew they had a road stretch going on here, but and my computer's, I can't get the internet rolling here.
Let's see here. Indiana and then at the Lakers.
So back-to-back half and half?
So home against Indiana, at Lakers, and then they'll stay in L.A., have an off day, and then play the Lakers again on the 19th.
All right. I didn't realize the Lakers were sneaking up on us like that.
We knew we had those two games coming up, but here they are.
I just saw a note yesterday that Anthony Davis expected back in 7 to 10 days.
So yeah, but he'll be limited.
That second, he would be limited. That second Lakers game?
He might not even make it till the 16th. Second game.
I don't think he'll be in for the Jazz game. Either one of them.
No, that's a week away. It's less than a week.
No, is it?
What days are those Lakers?
Wait, you got one on Saturday. Sorry,
one Saturday, on
Saturday and
one
on
Monday
is the second one.
No, don't expect
less than a week.
I don't expect Anthony Davis on either one of those because yesterday it said 7 to 10. So
yeah,
and Lloyd, yeah, even if he did come back, it's probably a 20-minute. You know, typically.
Yeah, he won't make
20,
a difference.
22 minutes.
He got a bit of a pitch count on him.
Yep. So it wouldn't make a lot of difference. But you got to remember that the Lakers are still trying to hold on to the playoffs. It's going to mean a lot to the guys that are on the floor.
I do think that him, his return and LeBron will coincide a little bit. And so even if they've got to push him back a little bit to make sure that he and LeBron kind of come back in roughly the same area, same time frame, I think that'll be somewhat lined up.
Yeah, it would be really nice to see these guys get a good amount of rest. You know, another observation last night, and do you have the box score in front of you?
I do.
Can you give me Mike Conley's line?
Give me 2 seconds here.
There's something about Mike Conley that this throughout this season, there's something about Mike Conley that I think adds quite a bit of peace to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Not a peace on the court. What I'm saying is actual peace. Like it eases Donovan's mind when Mike's on the court. I see a less anxious Donovan Mitchell. Donovan seems to press really, really hard when Mike isn't on the court or isn't available for the Jazz.
Yeah. You're right. Last night, Donovan Mitchell only scores 22 points, but he also only takes 16 field goal attempts.
Okay.
And we had Brian Fisher on yesterday. He said when he takes over 25 attempts, their Jazz are 1-6. So, you know, but that might be indicative of him when he goes over 25 attempts. And that might be indicative of Mike Conley not being out there and him feeling like, I need to pick up some of this pace.
Yeah.
But last night, Mike Conley, 5 of 13 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, had 15 points and 14 assists.
That's what I love.
As well as 2 steals and 2 rebounds.
That is such a beautiful groove. I love that the numbers across the board. I like the 6 3 attempts. I love the 50% shooting from the outside.
Yeah. Yep.
I love the distribution. I love the casual, calm nature. I mean, when they're down by 17 and you put Mike Conley on the court, it's a completely different feel. And you got all these young guys that are hustling around like, we're down by 17. Hoist it up. Get it out on the perimeter. Do everything you can. Mike's like, everybody calm down. We got 2.5 quarters. We could make up a 17-point deficit with this offense. We could make up that 17-point deficit in 5 minutes without even really pressing. So calm it down. And I feel that presence when Mike Conley's out there. And I can see it on Donovan's face. Donovan wears it while Mike's available.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we're here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. And Matt's with us once again. And let's talk about, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot of conversations with people that are here and getting that free consultation that don't think they have a hearing problem, but their wife's been getting after them, or some other loved ones have been saying, so they're like, fine, I'll just go in and we'll just see and I'll prove to you that there's no problem. And more often than not, I got to imagine there's a problem.
Well, typically, first of all, that when they do come in, they're coming with their spouse.
Yeah.
Because they do want to show them that everything's fine. And then secondly, they're probably right. They don't have a hearing problem. They probably hear most things just fine. They just don't understand everything that they're hearing.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the bigger problem, is people think, well, you know, I hear just fine. Well, yeah, okay, you hear, but do you understand? And that's what we really address at my hearing centers. It's great that you hear. Most people can hear. They're just not hearing as well as they did when they're in their 20s or 30s. And in order for you to stimulate the brain the way it needs to be stimulated, you need to hear like you did when you're in your 20s or 30s. In order for you to have good relationships with people around you, you need to hear like you did when you're younger. So when you come in, we'll do some testing. One of those tests is a familiar voice test, where we use your spouse, your loved one's voice in the testing. And we can show you on a 10, 20-word test how many words that you're missing from that familiar voice. And then what we can do is we can put these great ActiveX hearing aids on you, do the same test and show you how much more you can hear when you're wearing appropriately prescribed hearing technology.
Does this kind of return it back to what like natural hearing would have been? I think that that's kind of interesting as a man that might be losing their hearing, to have a sample of what your eardrums used to do for you.
And that's exactly what we do, right? So you come in, you're in denial, you're saying, I hear just fine, which you're probably right, you hear fine, but do you understand?
Yeah.
We do the understanding test, and we go, hey, listen, here's why you're asking your wife to repeat herself. Here's why you're turning up the TV a little too loudly. Because you're hearing all this stuff, you're just not getting the clarity of the consonants of the vowels.
And that's kind of, you know, I've had headphones on my life professionally for, you know, 20 some odd years.
Sure.
And I'm afraid I'm kind of heading down that path, because I'll be at like a concert or a restaurant or something like that, mm-hmm. and it's like a wall of sound coming at you, and your wife's talking to you, and you're like, yeah, you nod your head, and then later she's like, well, remember, we made plans for that Friday, and we talked about it, and you're like, oh, yeah.
Or remember, I told you we were going to use the tax return for that new car, and you're like, I didn't authorize that. Yes, you did. You nodded your head yes. And you're like, I really screwed up on that one.
Yeah, you kind of.
Sometimes you better be able to hear.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you should be authorizing anything particularly with your spouse. That's, I'm not going to get into spousal relationship advice here, but.
Cosign.
Cosign. That's
better. I'll allow it.
It's allowed. Anyways, but those are two great examples of where this hearing technology can help you out. And so we're inviting people to come in, give it the 30-day challenge, try the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. As a thank you, either way, whether to keep them or not, we're going to give you a gift card to Home Depot.
And you're giving away a pair of these ActiveX hearing aids.
That's right. If you do call and schedule a free hearing evaluation in any of our 20 offices, you're going to drawing for a free set of these hearing aids. One of 30 people is going to win a free set of hearing aids.
But it all starts with getting some free information. So call right now, 801-438-7058. Get that free hearing evaluation set up right now, 801-438-7058, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Thor Nystrom. He writes for NBC Sports Edge. Covers the NFL draft. Zach Wilson's climb up the draft board. If he goes number 2 to the Jets, like everyone seems to think he is, how much faith do you have in the Jets going forward?
Yeah, that's a tough question historically to ask anyone. As far as the decision with Wilson, you had to pay a prohibitive cost to do that transition from Sam Darnold to Wilson, right? There's a little bit too much risk in Wilson's profile for me personally to have been willing to pay that price, but I certainly understand where they're coming from. You don't see players with that kind of an arm come into the league every year. It was lasers everywhere. The jump up he took, I would understand wanting to stake the future of my franchise on that arm.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All brought to you by Zero Res. Give them a call right now, 801-288-9376. And you get carpets cleaned for just $33 per room. Some restrictions apply, so call right now and let's go.
All right, I'm ready to say it, man. I know it's only been a couple of shows, but I'm ready to say it. You ready for this announcement?
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a better host of Jeopardy than he is a quarterback in the NFL.
Ooh.
He was
still pretty good.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
He was born to host Jeopardy. This guy is, and he is kind of Trebek reincarnated to a certain extent. He carries the tone and the tempo, but he's also witty. He's funny and he's quick, and he's exactly what a show of intelligence needs to kind of have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not shoo off the geeks and nerds that show feasts on.
Well, and that's the thing. Trebek did a really good job because Trebek would have some fun with people and he'd crack a joke and he'd have some, you know, he'd make it lighthearted at times, but also realize that it's not about you. You know, it's about the Q&A.
Yep.
And so you got to know when to be part of the show and then when to just sit back and be a traffic cop.
Yep.
And say correct or incorrect.
But you knew with Trebek, you knew that there were subjects that he was very sure about, like anything that any type of Canadian news or any type something related to Canada, he'd always be like, the answer was actually this, and look at you like down his nose, like, come on, man, like we should all know that. Well, that happened last night with Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh? Okay.
Oh, you know that one, huh? Okay.
Hey, I think he's earned the gig. I think he needs to... They need to make a move and let him be the guy.
I hope they do. I hope they do, man. I think he's funny. I think he's fascinating. You know, there's a unique thing about this, Scotty. I think that there's an individual that Jeopardy hasn't really invited as much to the show. And I think that that's the athletic fan.
The non-nerds?
I think that's the sports fan. Well, I mean... I think that there's a lot of non-nerds. I think there's a lot of nerds and a lot of non-nerds.
Are you more likely to watch Jeopardy with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I am as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you watch Jeopardy before?
Yeah. Yeah, from time to time.
Yeah.
If I had a chance to watch Jeopardy, I would watch Jeopardy. I don't consider myself – there are some areas I consider myself very intelligent. But I don't consider myself just an all-around balanced, intelligent individual. But I have a tremendous amount of respect for people that can retain a vast amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
It is like some of these, like Ken Jennings, some of these long-standing champions that can make a run from everything from sports and entertainment all the way down to, you know, statistics and mathematical situations.
Yeah.
Those guys are very compelling to me, and I have a lot of respect for them.
I have not watched the Aaron Rodgers episodes. I know they've aired, and I think they're probably coming to an end this week. He had a 2-week run, I believe, and I have not watched them, and I feel bad. I wish I had. But the one thing I was always curious about is, and Trebek was always really good at it, like, all right, let's go to the subject is 15th century French artists. And, you know, he's – not only in, you know, saying the names, but saying them in the correct accent, and this, you know, that's the thing that you wonder how Aaron Rodgers is going to handle stuff like that.
I actually think really well. I think that Aaron Rodgers is so particular about his preparation, and I also think he's kind of a geek and nerd at heart. Which, by the way, when I say geek and nerd, that's not negative. Look, I'm pumping the gas of geeks and nerds every day. Like that's. They're brilliant. They're incredible. So it's not a negative thing, but I think in his heart, I think there's a bit of that. I think he wants to learn those words, and I think he wants to be accurate And you're right, Trebek was the best at that.
Yeah.
Like just rolling the name off and the cities, and you could tell he'd prepared. And it meant a lot to him. It'd be a fun gig to have.
Oh, I would love it. I would love to host a game show.
It would be pretty fun. I also think it'd be – I think it's actually more stressful than some people might think.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like some of these on-stage performances bring – they come with a lot of stress and a lot of preparation. But there'd be a lot of fun and enjoyment in having some moments. There are – I don't think there are a lot of organic moments, but there are some that are organic. Like Aaron Rodgers' response to he said, oh, but you.
Oh, you got that one.
Oh, you
huh?
got that one. All right.
All right. Good for you. All right. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
I mentioned this earlier in the show. Aaron Donald could be in a bit of trouble. And if you have not seen the pictures of the man that he allegedly assaulted in a club, it's pretty damning. Guy has his face completely. He's got 16 stitches above his eye. His eye's completely swollen shut. Says he also has a broken arm. And the man that's bringing criminal charges against him says all he did was bump into him at a club. And Aaron Donald responded by throwing a nasty punch that wrecked him pretty good.
Yeah, destroyed his eye, 16 stitches, broke his arm, gave him a pretty serious concussion, and there's definite damage there. Guy can't see out of his eye. So that's really significant damage. Scotty, what do you think should happen to every man and woman out there that's listening to this? You probably have either seen this or maybe you've been the victim of it. Maybe you've been the individual that's done it, where somebody's in your face and causing a scene, and or you're watching somebody cause a scene, using all kinds of profanities, calling somebody a name. This happens. Like, it could have happened to Aaron Donald. Very well could have happened to Aaron Donald. Maybe this guy was in his face. Let's say the film shows this guy being verbally aggressive and in Aaron Donald's face. Not what does the law say, but how do you feel about that? If this guy is using vulgarities and calling him every name in the book and is inside of his personal space and is... You know, there's spit coming from his mouth, and it's not and spitting just, on, but just...
Yeah, just really derogatory language. And
both are extremely intoxicated.
Yeah.
Because it's 4 o'clock in the morning in Pittsburgh outside of a club, a bar.
Part of me doesn't mind Aaron Donald delivering a little bit of justice. This seemed to be excessive. I don't know what the line is. But, like, you know, I go back to... Oh, who's the kid? I forget his first name. Falsliv, who played at BYU.
Yeah, JD.
JD. I remember it was after a Utah game, and somebody's got a camera on. I think it was at Utah. And somebody's got a cell phone camera, and they're just ripping into him and saying all kinds of nasty stuff. And he turns around and drops a FU. And then they got him on camera like, oh, BYU guy, you can't be saying that. And I'm like, you know what? You guys kind of pushed him to it. And I don't blame the kid whatsoever for saying that. And so, now obviously this is very different. Aaron Donald allegedly physically punched the dude and caused a lot of problems. But I do have a little bit of sympathy for guys that are getting harassed and yelled at and demeaned. And you, as a multi-millionaire, can't do anything because you know they want you to punch him because then they can sue and get some of your money, some of your hard-earned money.
Exactly what we have in front of us here.
Yeah. Like, this dude's like, oh, my face is caved in. But deep down, he's doing, you know, in his mind, he's doing cartwheels because he's like, I'm going to get paid.
He's got an attorney saying, hey, this is a $2 million injury.
Yeah.
You might never have to work again in your life.
And that's hard-earned money of Aaron Donald's. Aaron has gone out, and he has earned that money with his hard work. Now, granted, he was blessed with a certain level of DNA that allowed him to have the frame to play, but he had to put in the work to get there. This is his hard-earned money, and a guy took a punch and is going to take some of that money. Now, look, if it's a simple bump and Aaron lost his mind and just punched him, then, yeah, Aaron deserves to pay this money. But if this guy was antagonizing him and he was causing him all kinds of grief and was kind of asking for it a little bit, I don't have a lot of sympathy for this guy.
There will be camera There will be film.
Am I off base on saying that?
No. No, you and I stand very similar. If somebody's in my space, if somebody's right in my space,
yeah,
throwing vulgarities, I feel like I tend to have the right to get them out of my space. Now, a lot of people tell you, hold on, no, you just move your space. Get out.
Yeah.
Leave. You, whatever you can do, you got to get away from the situation. That is the best thing. It's the right thing. I believe that is the right thing. But when somebody is using all the profanities in the world and in your space, I do think that they deserve some justice. I don't think the law permits it.
Yeah.
I think you have to leave. Well, we'll see what you know that there's cameras on this. It's outside of a club in Pittsburgh.
I would imagine there would be, yeah.
So we'll see what this is all about. But Aaron Donald's, he's probably the second or third biggest name in football right now.
All right. Hans and Scotty, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
A few days ago, Cleveland Indians were playing the White Sox. And in that game, infielder Yu Chang had a throwing error that kind of led to Cleveland's loss to the White Sox. Afterwards, he fires up social media and sees all kinds of nasty stuff coming in. He reposts some of the tweets that were sent to him and says, "Exercise your freedom of speech in a right way. I accept all comments, positive or negative, but definitely not racist ones." Now, he's a native of Taiwan. Said, "Thank you. Love you all. Hashtag stop Asian hate." And then his tweet included a screenshot of some nasty, racist, anti-Asian social media messages that he received from three different users. Two of the accounts no longer existed, and the third one is private. But again, there's... let's see, he goes on and says, "Ignorance and racism, they shouldn't be anywhere. These comments have nothing to do with baseball. It's just an excuse for somebody to be stupid and ignorant. That's all it really is." Terry Francona, his manager, said, "Truth be told, man, it's really simple. Errors are part of the game. It happens. But to have this kind of reaction is extremely wrong. He is an extremely mature young man, and he'll be fine." I think it's really, like, and again, obviously the racist part is awful and disgusting, but the fact that if you look at some athlete and the mistakes, maybe he makes a mistake or muffs a punt near the end of a game, and you look at his social media account and people tagging him and saying horrific things, it's beyond me that some middle-aged dude who's probably never, ever played sports in his life feels like it's his place to go on Twitter and start tagging the guy and telling him every disgusting thing and every mistake he's made and how he's an awful player.
I want to address the other end of that. It's beyond me why any athlete would go to social media for any type of endorsement or reaction to their performance. It's beyond me. It is absolutely...
To be on social media?
No, to go there for any type of reaction, either endorsement or reaction to your performance, and to take that into any type of account. It is hollow, empty endorsement or negative reaction. Most of them nameless, faceless. Some of those guys, probably 12, 13-year-old kids that don't even realize how ignorant or stupid their comments are, that think it's funny. They don't realize that this is creating this division in our country of, well, there's just millions of racist people in this country. Going to Twitter for reaction and nameless and faceless individuals is not the right way to get criticism. I take criticism from you, Scotty, face to face. I take criticism from Lloyd face to face of this show, of my performance.
Yeah.
I take adulation from you face-to-face, my wife, my friends that listen, that know me. I take the criticism from them. But the criticism that comes in from Twitter followers that I don't know who they are, they might just be a 13-year-old that came on my account and think, it's funny because this big, dumb redhead that thinks he's a former NFL football know-it-all, you know what would be funny? Watch this. You sound like a complete idiot. It's that easy for them to type that. And who is it? Some person that doesn't know how badly they're hurting me, that thinks it's funny. So I'm not going to them for my criticism. I'm not going to even address them on air and say, man, after that show yesterday, I had a bunch of people say that I'm just dumb. I went to a sports reaction board, and a bunch of people there thought I was dumb. Scotty, for a long time, you know that stuff laid on me heavy, and yeah, it hurt my heart to know how many, or to think that there were that many people out there that think I'm that dumb and uneducated. Don't go to social media for your adulation or the negative reaction to whatever you're doing. Go to the people that have a face, that have concern, that have care, that know you.
Problem is, all just comes in one feed.
Everything else is empty to me.
Yeah.
It's empty. These racial things that come out on social media, it's empty to me. Because we know that there's racism, but we also know that there are 13-year-olds that are so dumb they don't understand how bad they're hurting people. There's 16-year-olds that make dumb decisions every day, and they might think it's funny. And it's not. It sucks. It hurts people. So as an athlete, you got to know where to go for your sports reactions. And I don't know if Twitter is the right place to go.
So you're saying just get off Twitter?
Absolutely. After
just shut it down.
After a terrible game, let's say, Scotty, okay, hold on. I'm gonna put us in a pretty tough situation here, okay? Let's say you and I are doing a show. And let's say something bad happens. Something pretty bad. Let's say, and just for the sake of where I'm coming from, I'm going to say something you did or something you said, we knew this is going to go poorly. My advice to you would be, let's talk face-to-face with bosses. Let's talk face-to-face with Lloyd. Let's talk face-to-face with me. Let's get in front of the people that this means something to. And, buddy, whatever you do, stay away from social media for a bit.
Turn off the mentions.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I'd say, buddy, this is coming from a place of true love and concern. Stay off social media. Because the people that are commenting on you, there's no repercussion for them. They don't care about you. They don't love you. Most of them might be a 16 or 18-year-old that are just glomming on to some story that was written about you that they're like, oh, you know what would be funny is to tell this guy that his job is over and I hope that he dies and burns in hell. And I hope his family suffers because of this. So is that where you want to go? And then after that, for you to come back on air and be like, I went on Twitter and these guys attacked me, I would have no sympathy for you because you just went to a hollow place to get interaction. I've got no sympathy for it. The people that are dropping these comments, yeah, there's a lot of racist people in this country. But these are hollow, faceless names that have no repercussion. So when a professional athlete's like, oh my gosh, they told me my family should die and burn and go to hell. Why did you go there for that? Why did you go for that interaction? I'm very against it. And if I was in the NFL right now and I had let's say I gave up a big sack on Peyton Manning,
yeah,
that lost the game. Guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to check my mentions.
I do. Okay. This is a big conversation here because I do think there's value in showing whether it's a 44-year-old lawyer or a 15-year-old idiot kid. I do think that there's some value in showing the underbelly of what's out there and that there's people that actually think like that. And I think there's a value in saying that we actually have people in this society that actually think this and have these thoughts running through their brain, and this is not all right. And when we're in a point in our country where there's so much racial tension right now, to be able to say, like, look, you think, like, you keep telling me there's no, you know, I'm sure This guy's been told time and time again, like, oh, look, racism's over. There's no racism going on in their country right now. And if it is, it's so minute. And this guy's like, no, this is here. This is out here. And I'm dealing with this. You don't have to deal with this. I do have to deal with this. And I think there's a certain level of value in that. But I get your point, too. Like, I think that the racism brings another element to it outside of just people yelling at you for a bad performance.
Scotty, I'm going to take you into a moment, or I'm going to take you back to a situation where, you know, there was a lot of stir and buzz about you years ago.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And people wanted to attack how you look, or they want to attack your image. And they want to attack everything about you. You can't put any weight into what those people say. When people attack me and my intelligence, they know that's a way to get to my heart. They know that's what truly hurts me. Well, that's what they think about race. How can I truly hurt that guy? How can I get to the very core of that guy? Oh, I know. I'll attack his race because that's the hot thing. That guy... Now, to attack somebody's race, it's disgusting. It's horrifying to attack my intelligence and say I'm dumb, an adult, and all you are is just a meathead former athlete. It hurts. To attack your image, well, he's a bald, redheaded guy. It hurts. It's what people do on social media or on these boards. They attack you in areas that they know that they're going to get you. They're going to stir your guts because that's all they want to do on social media. So, you know, we could go to it and say, well, there is a group of people out there that just hate partially balding redheads.
And pretty much fully bald. Yeah.
But I think that those people's intent is to get to you in a way that they feel like they can get to you.
Solid point.
And guess what? That's not okay either.
No.
That's not okay. Just like it's not okay to attack somebody's Asian descent. Or African-American descent. And this is what social media, it's what's so bad about social media. It's not just race. It's every little detail of our life that somebody will attack if we've got any type of success in our life. Sometimes I wonder if I even want notoriety. Sometimes I wonder if I even want success or want success in sports or whatever I did in life. Sometimes I wonder if I even want people to know my name. Because they throw it out on a board, and then I get a call from my brother that's like, hey, I had my elders quorum president came up.
Oh, yeah, that's always fun.
He showed me this on a board.
I know.
Are things okay? And I'm like, dude, how many times have I been telling you, man, you've got to ignore everything that comes in that way.
Yeah.
Because people just want to hurt. Social media is disgusting. It can be an amazing support system. But it can also be the most low-level, disgusting attack on a human. And it's not just about race.
Yep.
It's about the things that can really hurt.
Way behind things here. Matt's hanging out with us from My Hearing Center. Call right now, 801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. We're giving away a free set of hearing aids. These ActiveX are available for you. All you have to do is call and set up that appointment, and you'll be in the drawing for a chance to win these things.
That's right. And here's also what comes with the free hearing aids. You're also going to get complimentary lifetime service with My Hearing Center. So as long as you have those hearing aids, routine cleanings, adjustments, free hearing evaluations for the life, the hearing aids, they have. Also, we're going to make sure the hearing aids last long. We talked about batteries earlier, so we're going to make sure those the lifetime on the power cell that's inside these hearing aids are going to last the whole time. You're going to be able to get a risk-free 30-day trial of the hearing aids. We do extended warranties. So you don't get this. We do the standard manufacturer. We also add an extra year on the warranty to make sure that you're confident that this is going to not just work for you, but it's going to work for a long time. And we do remote adjustments now as well.
That's really cool. You've talked about this.
Whoa, so you can change things up from wherever you are?
You don't need to come into the office.
Yeah, so say you talked earlier, you're out to dinner. I think it was Scotty actually said out to dinner, having a hard time hearing. You go into the app, you say, I'm having a hard time hearing. I'm in a restaurant. and you click a button, and it does an automatic adjust.
How new is that technology?
I've had it for a little less than a year. Kind of COVID hit, and we developed this really fast so that we could do this when so people wouldn't have to be coming to the office as much.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, is hearing loss, is it more genetic or is it more environment?
That's a great. That's a good question. So the there's four leading causes of hearing loss. Number one is aging, right? Number two is environment. So if you're in a loud situation, if you're wearing headphones all day for 25 years, it's probably going to lead to a hearing loss. And then number three is genetics. So they're all kind of roughly bundled in right there together. But if your grandparent had a hearing loss, your dad, your mom has a hearing loss, you're more likely to have a hearing loss, especially later in life.
801-438-7058. If you or a loved one are dealing with it or think you are dealing with it, get the information. It's a free hearing evaluation. And if you call right now and one of the first 30 people to call and set that up, you'll get into the drawing to be in for a chance to win a set of these Active X hearing aids. 801-438-7058 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.